Hey guys, welcome back to the Moms Talk Autism podcast. Today, we are going to get on the merry-go-round, of sleep, y'all. So buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, welcome back. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Toshi.
Hi, Tosh.
Hello.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
That will never get old. Hi, Jean.
Oh, my God.
Well, my hygiene is actually okay. Very good today. We are.
I love it. Better than mine, let me tell you, sister. Okay. So, y'all, we constantly are getting the questions that are just continually rotating, right? Like, what's your child's sleep like now? What is your med situation now? What is your fill in the blank? So we have decided to do what we are calling the merry-go-round series. The merry-go-round series. Like, mostly it makes you want to vomit everywhere, but you know, it's life. It's life. And this is our life, and it is how it goes. So let's just get on and let's circle back to sleep in 2024. Here we go.
Or lack thereof.
I'm currently functioning on right no now. Sleep. So this is
perfect
because it is a bye. It's actually because Rory woke up at midnight and
already yawning. First yawn.
That's like Shannon's 17th yawn since we've been all together this morning.
I went and got coffee because I was hoping it would help.
Does it though?
I mean, ask me in 17 minutes.
Okay.
We can pretend.
I'm going to ask me.
I like to pretend that it does.
17 yawns, ask me in 17 minutes.
I like to pretend that it does, Shannon. It's kind of like telling that part of your brain back here, you're just programming.
Yeah, I think that's all it's actually you're really doing. It's a placebo effect, right?
Well, so you're saying there's no scientific evidence about caffeine.
It doesn't.
I am saying there is all the scientific evidence, but what I'm saying is person to person.
Oh, okay.
Shannon, I feel like you drink enough coffee.
I drink not a lot. I drink 2 cups a day.
Okay. But after you drink it, are you like, ooh, let's go. I'm so energized.
No, that's when I drink Energize.
There we go.
Let's go through my caffeinated beverage right now,
oh,
shall we?
Gosh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Moving along.
Back to the subject at hand. Here we go. Sleep. How's it going, everybody? How's everybody's sleep going?
It sounds like you're sleeping fine.
I am sleeping fine because I just got back from, you know, a little holiday with no children and no husband. So
you're well rested.
I am well rested. It's the first time that I've slept in, I don't know, since last February when Tyler and I went on vacation together.
That's not right.
No, seriously, honestly, though, I will say for our sweet little Jack, our sweet little Jackaroo, you know, we have always had, I mean, obviously, all of us have always had a child who struggles with sleeping. So we, though, because I think we've talked about this before with the issue with Jack's bowels in the evening. We have been trying everything to potty train, essentially. So because of that, we had to cut out melatonin. And because we had to cut out melatonin, I wish you guys could see my face right now.
It's not a good face, yeah.
That means, you know, just the ramped up, you know, Jack's ADHD. The medication has been well off board. He's 8, so it's like doing, you know, maybe a line of cocaine. So getting to sleep for us at night is the struggle. It is the struggle. It takes Jack, I mean, you know, upwards of 5 times of him coming in between 8 and 10 o'clock to ask if we are going to bed yet. And then once he finally gets to sleep, we are having to wake up every at least hour and a half to 2 hours to take him to the bathroom. So that is where we are at. I feel like Jack probably gets good sleep once he's asleep, but that is once he's asleep.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So does he stay, once he's asleep, does he stay asleep?
I mean, he, like I said, he will stay asleep, but he can't stay asleep because we have to go wake him up.
Because you so wake that, him up every 2 hours.
Because we have to wake him up every 2 hours. Otherwise, we are changing sheets in the middle of the night and, you know, all of the things. So, right. And then when he's awake, he does fall back asleep, but it's usually because he wants to get right back in bed with us, or get in bed with us, I should say. So that's where we are at. We are in, it feels like I'm breastfeeding again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I see. Yeah. I see how that could be. So if he was able to keep, you know, his bladder full through the night and not wet his bed, do you think he would be sleeping okay once he finally fell asleep? I guess that's a hard question to answer, but I'm just curious, like, what does your mama gut tell you? Do you think he would still be waking up a lot? And like,
I don't think he would be waking up a lot, but I definitely think it would still be a little bit of interrupted sleep. Right. And again, I don't know if that's just the pattern of, you know, when he kind of like wakes up on his own, he's like, you know, where am I, distorted a little bit, like, you know, and needs to be, you know, like, okay, let's go in and go potty. You know, he wouldn't just do that. He would just come in here and like be confused about what was happening. So I feel like once he does fall asleep, he's pretty out of it. Enough that there is a good possibility that, yes, he would sleep through the night.
Yeah. What about waking up in the morning?
Possibly. At the butt crack of dawn, you mean?
He's up. He's up, ready to go.
No, Father Sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack likes to wake up with the East Coast. We are on the West Coast. Jack has just always been... And I don't know if that's, you know, has anything to do with just autism or ADHD, or if it's just who he is as a person, right? He's maybe just a morning person. But yeah, he's up, ready to go.
Early. Yeah.
Yep.
And does he
doesn't matter if he went to bed at midnight or if he, you know, got to bed at 8 o'clock and
it's still a good waking 10 hours. Up at the same time. And he seems to be well rested, like he doesn't seem sleepy or like he's ready to go.
Yeah. It's like, again, just like somebody just gave me a little
jolt.
Energize.
So I think that's interesting. I have 2 neurotypical and 2, you know, divergent kids. And I would say, so my oldest, he has always been a very early riser, very much like Jack. And he just has always woken up early. We do a before school Bible study class for our kids once they reach high school. And he never had an issue getting up on time to go to that and, you know, all those things. Yeah. But
seminary's early too.
Yeah, it can be, depending on where you live. But I will say, once those hormones start coming in and that growth spurts happens and they really hit puberty hard, I was surprised at how that switched. He still naturally tends to wake up in the morning, and he can wake up in the morning. But if you let those teens, all I have is teen boys right now, so I'll say teen boys. But if you let those teens sleep in, They will do it. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the case for everybody. I have a little bit of a different story for Austin, and I'll get into that. But for him, there, I imagine it'll level out again once, you know, he stops growing. Interesting. So just keep, I mean, for Tosh and for anyone else who maybe has these kids who are in elementary school and you're just like, you're up at 5 a.m. every day, dude, come on. Put a pin in it, because it could change. Even if it was just for a few years, it could change. So
yeah. Yes. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I'll keep just that in mind. Tell us, how's Austin doing?
So Austin is always my wild card with these kinds of things. As a young child, he was my best sleeper. And then that quickly turned on its head, heading into late preschool, early elementary, I would say, he would not sleep at all. Like literally up all night for multiple nights in a row, running around. I've heard of cats. I don't have animals because I have four children, but I've heard of cats having something called the zoomies.
We don't have animals because I have children.
I have four children.
That was slightly wrong.
She went heavy on four children. It's a four.
It was the quantity of children.
Yes. I
have children.
Because those four children are my animals. So, okay, here we go.
Well, Doug has actually, Doug Crabtree has stated that to us in the past. Like, we don't need animals because we have them.
Yeah. we have.
I don't need to clean up anymore.
I don't need to be in charge of keeping anything else alive.
I do get that because you're severely outnumbered. So, correct.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Gene's severely outnumbered by all of it. Children, animals.
Yeah. It's yes, okay. It's a rodeo over here.
But yeah, so we don't have animals, but I've heard of things called the zoomies, right? And I've seen
the zoomies. What are
I've heard
things?
This thing called the zoomies, and I've seen it before, the dogs, like with my own eyes.
Dogs get the zoomies too.
And dogs.
That's what she's saying.
Yes,
but so does Gracie. So,
and so does Austin. Austin.
Can I just really quickly, Brittany? That is the best explanation. Better than, you know, like them doing a line of some illegal substance.
White powder. Yeah.
Right. Because that's the best way to explain Jack at night. Like, it's like he eats and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, zoomies. Perfect.
I've seen Jack do that as well. Yes. I've been in your home and I've seen zoomies.
Okay.
So I don't mean to belittle children and compare them to your animals. I don't want anyone to come at me for that, but it's an easy way to like visualize what we're talking about. And Austin would do that in his younger years. That's when we started medications for him just for sleep. And I've talked about that in other episodes. I can give a brief description, but it was a long road of finding the things that worked. It was 6 months of extreme sleep deprivation on my part and our family's part. And then we eventually found some things that worked. And since then, especially for that puberty piece again, it changed. The medications that were effective were no longer effective. He struggled falling asleep and or staying asleep. As a young child, it was more about staying asleep through the night. We could get him to fall asleep, but then he would wake up in the middle of the night, and then that was it. 1 a.m., we're up for the day.
We're ready to go.
No naps, let's go. And then we just repeat over and over and over again. And so that did change as he got older. And now as we are in the middle, maybe on the back half of puberty here at 17, it is about falling asleep.
Right.
It's like kind of switched. And so now once we get him to fall asleep, he does stay asleep.
Unless
a lot of things, but unless he has an accident, unless he, which he's not potty trained.
I'm saying like just your recent, like recent meaning like just a couple or a month ago, whatever that was. Remember, it was
It was very...
Who was staying up for you? You guys were taking like, you know, 3 hour shifts.
Yes. Yeah. That was some medication changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And during Christmas break. Yes. That was really rough. Austin did not go to sleep on Christmas Eve. He was just real excited about Santa. Actually, no, he could care less. But he was up all night that night, like did not go to bed. But it's interesting to see how that has changed. And now as he's gotten older as well, I have to wake him up every morning to go to school. He's not, and he was my 5 a.m.er for years. So, right. And some of that's probably because of the meds he's on, but it's also because teens need more sleep. They just do.
Yeah. They're growing and hormones and all of it.
Hormones are, man, they're.
Do 40-year-old women also need more sleep?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do,
Shannon,
actually.
They do. 40-year-old women who are perimenopausal, absolutely. We need to talk about this. Not today, but 100%.
It's another episode.
That's a mom's talk, mom. Yeah.
That's a mom's talk, moms. We're doing that. We are doing that.
We should get an expert on for that.
I will write that down in my little notebook. Anyway, so that's Austin.
She's writing it down.
I literally am writing it down right now.
We'll forget. That's another side effect of being.
We just talk about already the weirdness of some of our comments already in this episode. It's hilarious. We don't even realize it's normal.
Sleep deprived.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Our executive functioning.
All right. Sorry. Austin.
Not functioning.
But this is good. This is good to know, Britt, because I do think like if I'm comparing to, yes, it might take Jack a little bit longer to get to sleep right now, and because we're not doing melatonin and we're not doing, and he gets the zoomies right before bedtime. But he is sleeping, I would say, heavier, like I was saying, hence why we have to get up and potty him and, that kind of thing, because he is, zombie when he sleeps.
Right.
So maybe we are nearing that. Why do I keep giving myself thumbs up? Sorry. Anyway, so this is good to know. Hopefully we can get the potty situation under control, and then all will be well in the Dillman household.
And I'm going to speak just for a quick second about potty training as well. Austin's not potty trained during the day or at night. That's a whole other separate issue and topic. Yeah. But I will say, my third child, he is a heavy, deep sleeper, always has been. And he would have a lot of accidents growing up. And we talked to doctors about it. He does not have, he's neurotypical.
Nothing. Yeah.
But, and there was nothing physically wrong with him, but he couldn't wake up. He's just a naturally deep sleeper, and he still is. He is 16 now. And we just kind of had to find ways to help him keep his bed clean. And try to help him, try to lessen the water right before bed. All those things that we typically do. You try the
all of it.
Alarms, all the things. I've tried everything, right? Guys, it just takes time.
Yeah.
And sometimes those kids, they just need to grow so their bladders literally get big enough.
Right.
That's all it is. And that's all you can do. And so I want to encourage you, Tosh, and anyone else who's listening, who's maybe struggling with this, with these older kids who are still maybe wetting the bed. Mm-hmm. My son didn't stop until he was in middle school.
Yeah.
And I talked to doctors about it, and they're like, that's very normal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And that's what Jack's pediatrician says, and my dad was the same way. My dad has said so many times, and he used to kill him. My dad's 75. And so, back then it was like siblings made fun of him and all of that,
sure.
But it was like, it wasn't laziness. It wasn't, whatever. It was just that he slept so hard. So, and I've heard that from tons of typical, parents to typical children of, especially boys, much more common.
Right. Right. And it's not always the case, but in general,
right.
Just growing up and giving your body time to literally have a big enough bladder. That's what the doctor said. It will naturally help things along. If not,
I need one of those.
Take care
too.
Of it completely.
I was just going to say that, Shannon. I was literally just going to say.
Need a bigger bladder?
I feel like I had a big bladder and then I had children. Where did it go? Now I'm literally the one at night sometimes going, oh no, no, you're not dreaming. Get up and go.
This is not a drill.
This is not a drill. You have to go potty. Do not pee your bed.
Tyler would not be a fan of that.
He would not. No. Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm sorry, you guys.
No, it's fine. Austin's sleep. Yeah, that's where we're at. It's an ongoing. Yeah. We talk about a merry-go-round. we just circle back again and again and again. And
yeah,
this is extreme.
Ride doesn't end. You never get off.
It does not.
Oh, it does not. Make me so nauseous.
It's extreme. My situation is. I realize that, but I feel like it's important to maybe be a little honest and tell you how it can be. Austin will take his medications sometimes. He has many medications he takes, he will fight against it. He will scream and hit the wall of his room with his hands, his legs, and his head and scream for hours some nights until he falls asleep. And there is nothing right now that any medical professional or any therapist or anything, and I have read anywhere, that can help me when he's like that. Yeah. I have to sit there and I have to listen to it. And
that's excruciating to your mama heart.
It is.
And just your human heart, you know, and it doesn't.
And your nervous system.
And your nervous system. It wouldn't matter if it was your child or not. Like that's like, naturally, most of us want to just help somebody when we feel like they are in pain or you know, struggling. So to have to endure that is so much. Yes, for your nervous system,
and I just want to acknowledge that it is a lot. And if that is happening to you, I am there with you. It is a lot. It's not every night. There is no pattern to it, but it just happens sometimes. And you say, well, why don't you go help him? Why don't you go try? You know. We do. He will not let me help him.
Right.
Now, he is
so interesting. Really quickly, Brittany, I just want to say, and obviously we are not medical doctors and we don't know and any of that kind of thing. We are not. There's no whatever. But when you say it, is it like almost like he's trying to fight against the medication he can feel it coming on and
he's non-speaking.
Non-speaking, so you don't know, but I mean,
can't tell.
You know, is that
kind of that's like what I think it is. He feels it coming on, like, you know, when you take melatonin or something,
or Advil PM or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You feel drowsy. I think he's fighting the drowsiness. Yes. And for some reason, some nights he will fight it.
Right.
And he gets really angry.
Angry.
And when I say he won't let me help him, he literally shoves me out of the room and it makes him more agitated for him to see me. It makes it worse.
So interesting.
And so I have to, for his safety and for his, I'm trying to respect his wishes. I physically leave the room and I just wait outside the door in case he needs me. And sometimes it is literally hours at night.
Can I ask what time what time do you give medication and all that? You know,
yeah.
Is there like are you like, okay, in order so that he can get enough sleep and that I can get him up in the morning, we have to be in this window like Jean does with Rory or whatever.
Yeah, it's typically somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. And and we've messed around with that, you know, shifting that to see if that helps at all. There's, like I said, there's no pattern or rhythm to it that seems to help, but that's typically when we do it, that gives us enough time for us to be able to get him up in the morning for school. So,
Okay. And within that window, is it like, can it be upwards of an hour that from taking medication to finally falling asleep? Or is it like, does it happen pretty quickly? I'm only asking this because we've never had, you know, you and Jean both do a prescribed sleep aid or whatever. So,
so if he's having a non-fighting night where he's not trying to fight against the meds and it's a typical night, it's usually, I would say, an hour. Yeah, I think that's
an hour.
Typical.
Okay.
If he's fighting against the meds, and there's variation, you know, it's not just all or nothing. It can go somewhere in between too.
Right.
If he's fighting the meds, I think a typical fighting night is about 4 to 5 hours.
And you're just not, you don't go to sleep until he's asleep.
I am trying to keep myself calm and regulated myself and try and just be available, but yet not over worrying. It's an exercise in.
Right. Well, and I'm asking that because you would not be comfortable like somebody being him being asleep, safety wise, I guess is what I'm saying. Right. I mean, I know you guys have like all kinds of safety things in place, but, you know, does it, I know I keep thumbsing myself up, whatever. Would you not feel comfortable going to sleep with him still being awake?
I typically don't. I'll go into my room and I'll read or I'll, you know, but I try. Yeah. As long as I can, I have a hard time falling asleep if he's upset.
So I'm saying like, so that can be you going to bed at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That happens a lot. A lot. Yeah. And much to Shannon and Tasha's.
Oh my gosh. When
I'm over here keeping my mouth closed.
I'm just dying. Yeah. When I did a Shannon the other night and I was like, oh, I get this.
You did a Shannon. Okay. What's a Shannon? You went to bed at 8?
I did.
Yeah.
Amen. And I was like, ooh, come on. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Speaking of Shannon, Shannon, tell us about Shannon, Gracie.
I'm in sleep hell right now. No, I'm just kidding. Jean's in a worse place than we are right now.
Listen, we're not comparing girls and everybody's heart is their hard, just for everybody out there. And it's okay to be in hell, not like literally, but it's okay to, you know, like there's good times and there's bad times. And that's why it's freaking merry-go-round. Okay. So anyways,
grab your C bands and your Dramamine
and your puke bags. Let's go.
So, I mean, I've talked about it before on the podcast where Gracie, her whole life has gone through periods where she will wake up in the middle of the night and she will party in her bedroom is kind of what I call it. Like she had a 2-hour party in a room last night, you know, and she will wake up and she will be noisy, not necessarily angrily noisy, but she will just be talking to herself and playing and go into town. And eventually, usually will put herself back to sleep after like 2 or 3 hours, you know, and then sleep until morning. Mm-hmm. So we are back on that train again where that's happening. I do usually still have a baby monitor on in her room just so I can monitor, you know, for safety purposes. Yep. So usually if she wakes up, I wake up. I can usually assess the situation and sometimes go back to sleep. I also have an app on my phone that allows me to set the volume level for an alert. So like if she stays under a certain level, it will not alert on my phone. But if it exceeds a certain level, it will alert.
Then it will. Phone. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So like that has been nice because if she is happy, you know, then
it's just
mama's going to sleep, right? Like right. Mama needs sleep.
And if she's screaming and something is happening, then you're awake. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got that situation. But the other night it was like midnight and she woke up and she did not go back to sleep at all. Like was awake for breakfast. Like she may have dozed off once or twice, but like on the app that I have on my phone, I can literally scroll through. And anytime it starts recording if she starts moving or it hears sound.
Yeah.
So it will only alert me to the times where she's awake for the most part.
Is this like, I mean, you know, like pattern wise, have you noticed anything since we're kind of like talking about that is just kind of random?
Yeah.
Like well, she does really like good for a while where you put her in her room and she's good. Does she take a sleep aid? I can't remember.
So she does. She takes Guanfacine. Okay. And we originally started Guanfacine, I believe, because of her sleep. But it also helps with other things. You know, it'll help with ADHD, some OCD. Mm-hmm. It'll help with some anxiety. Mm-hmm. So that's originally why she started it. And we actually last year, you know, had to add to her IEP that she is allowed to come to school late if she has a bad night's sleep. We had her doctor add in a sleep disorder into her diagnosis so that I just didn't want us arriving late at school and her having tardies to affect
any
type of benefits, you know, or services that she might be getting. So we added that into her IEP last year.
That's a good tip if people need that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is it. I would say, because obviously, Shannon, you just said it, but Jean and Brittany, do the kids have that diagnosis? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Shannon.
It's people can't see, so they don't understand what's going on. But you guys, anyways, if you're on a Zoom, no, let's just real quick, because we keep getting sidetracked. If you're on a Zoom and stuff now and you do thumbs up, it thumbs up you.
Or right? I just did something else and it sent balloons up in the air. I'm having a party over here.
Tosh did something with her hands and there were balloons all over the screen and that's very distracting. I don't know how we turned that off.
So yeah, you can tell she's doing a lot of talking with her hands.
I'm Italian. Come on.
I don't know what's going on.
Jean and Brittany, do you guys have, do either of the kids have
sleep disorders?
Sleep disorder diagnosis?
It's in his neuro file. Yeah. And now that you just, now that Shannon just even brought that up, he has a neuro appointment coming up and I'm going to actually, because especially with me doing things solo, it's even harder on days where it's like, well, even if he's functioning okay in the morning, I'm not functioning okay in the morning and I'm struggling prompting, getting these kids to school. And I think, and I was just thinking, I'm like, I need to have this built in that he's going to have latenesses due to this. And we had just had his annual ARD or his IEP meeting. And so, I think what I'll do is get kind of like an addendum to it. And like, they'll do like a brief R just to say, like to say that we'll approve this piece and add it to the IEP if everybody's in agreement. Like if literally, unless there's going to be.
Okay, but let's pause though. I want to get back to that. Don't forget where you're at. I want you to finish about Gracie really quickly. Cause that's part of your, I want to hear all that with Rory. Go, Shannon, go.
Guanfacine, IEP.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Sorry, just trying to figure out.
The tardies, so you have it in her IEP.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing is we have had such a wish, like, playing with her guanfacine has been terrible. It feels like anytime we try to alter her dose at all, then we see negative side effects, and it's... Yeah. Horrifying. So it's like we go through these phases and, you know, the doctors will say, well, we can try to, you know, change your guanfacine dose. And that's like, well, we've tried that 3 times. And every single time we've tried it, it has been a nightmare. Right. And so, you know, you get in one of those freeze situations where it's like, okay, changing her meds might help, but then it might make things 15 worse. Times worse. And then I have to go back down to a lower dose and like wait for things to neutralize again, you know. So we're just kind of in that mode right now where it's like, let's just see how long this phase lasts. And if she is late to school, then she's late to school, you know.
Yeah, because it's, again, it's not like you're monitoring this through a year, and it's not like, oh, it's like when there's a season change, or oh, it's when it's this time of the school year, or, you know, there is no pattern to it. So
should have been better about, you know, I probably should be better about like actually tracking it. But I mean, I can't track my life for 2 weeks, much less 52 weeks. So, you know.
I got you, girl. Come on.
You know.
Amen. Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I'm sleepy and that's why I'm drinking coffee again.
That's why I'm sleeping and drinking. Mm-hmm. Sleepy and drinking.
Coffee.
Coffee. Jean. Do you remember where you were? Start from the beginning, though, please.
Okay. So I'll actually, I want to go back because it'll actually bridge from where Shannon was. Okay. So one of the way guanfacine, Rory was on guanfacine, which also the other version of that, that's a time release, is called Intuniv. It's a popular ADHD med, and a lot of kids, you know, on the spectrum or ADHD are given it because it was the first like big non-stimulant. So if you have to pick those categories, there's not many non-stimulants to offer our kids. That's the first one. It affects your blood pressure. It's a blood pressure medication. It slows down impulses. So a lot of kids with ADHD, have this hyper, you know, impulse where it's like there's nothing in between. There's no gray area. And that's the way my neurologist had explained the way that guanfacine works. And we were one of, and I will just say, because not everybody, guanfacine has not been a successful a trial drug with every child out there. You know, it's one of the most common. And I hear a lot of parents are like, oh, we try this for a couple months, which is good. You don't ever want to like necessarily judge something by
off of
yeah. a first couple weeks, because it takes a while sometimes to reach therapeutic levels. But unless you're having really adverse side effects, and you have to reevaluate that. And I know sometimes that, a lot of parents in our community have reached out to me to share what those stories have been like. And I very authentically share, you know, what some of those other parents, as well as my experience, have been, because it makes someone feel normal that they're experiencing them, and they're trying to figure out other solutions. So Rory has moved from a different non-stimulant, by the way, and I'll go back to that, because that a couple actually that impacts his whole patterns, his whole cycle. He has always been a problematic sleeper. And so in his neuro chart, for sure, it's been indicated that he is sleep disordered. I just never did anything with that diagnosis outside of the fact of exercising the need for medication, right? So,
yeah, that's the same for me,
and
for Austin.
And he, you know, even as a toddler, and this is pre-diagnosis, is he was had a very hard time falling asleep. He used to take 2 to 3 hours a night for him to go to sleep. It's like his, I was watching his brain just not shut off. And then when we got the green light to go ahead and try melatonin, we were seeing success with that. But then obviously what I started to observe is we would go through patterns of like where he'd just wake up in the middle of the night and then he's up for the whole night, right? And certainly without melatonin, he would just never fall asleep to a point we were getting to that point. As diagnosis of autism and even ADHD came, we've been through various cocktails of medication. And you've, for those that are avid listeners to our podcast, have kind of kept pace with that, like listening, knowing what our journey has been. With medication, and something may work for a while and then boom, you got to change it. And then there was a whole year where none of the cocktails that we had going on were working until we found the sweet spot that we're in now. And when we found the mixture, you know, it's just like a whole process. And I know, and I am sure even as I'm saying this, Brittany's going, yep, this is basically how we're doing it too. Once you find the cocktail that's working, then you're trying to find when the right administrative times are going to be. Especially for when you're trying to time sleep and spreading them apart. And similar to Austin, what we were experiencing was Rory fighting taking the meds at nighttime and me having to chase him around. And I would still categorize him as minimally verbal. He has language. He's minimally conversational. It's limited. His repertoire of speech is still limited. It's still increasing. So we're not going backwards. It's still progressing. But he'll protest. And if it was really up to him, he would not take his medicine. So what we had to do is start an administration time with a medication that starts to help him fall asleep and also kind of slow down, because that by that point his ADHD med that he's taking, that time release thing, is worn off for the day. It's wearing off, and his energy level and impulses are cranking up. So that means his reception is going to shut down. And when his reception shuts down, he's going to be very demand avoidant to me to want, or anyone, to administer all of his nighttime meds. And it is it's quite an interesting cocktail. And he's not a big kid. He's little. He's 10. He's pretty petite. Yeah, I talk about
size wise. Yeah, he's little too.
I talk about, you know, how, you know, feeding has been a struggle for us. So it's not, he has not a lot of meat on his bones. He's, he's a beanpole. And, so I have to start an hour before with that one particular med, and then he gets the second doses about an hour after
But I'm strategic with that. And a lot of variables now go into that that didn't necessarily have to be considered before. You know, he's has extracurricular Special Olympics. So sometimes then I will stagger administration by a half hour with maybe the first dose. And then the remaining doses you'll get once I get him to a place where I can transition into bed. Because basically very shortly after that, he's going to crash. He's going to be done. But if he doesn't get that, so the one dose starts to help him fall asleep, right? And get him in that starting at that phase or that body motion to do that. And then the other drug helps him stay asleep. However, even with this cocktail that works majority of the time, we'll say about, I'll give it like a B plus. It's at, or BBS, right? So like 85%. We have sleep disturbances still that occur. And those sleep disturbances, what I find, come at different indicators for them. So it'll be when there's a change in schedule, but not right out of the gate. Sometimes it's like after there's an animal back here. Speaking of animals,
I was trying,
but not one of your kids.
I'm sorry. I was like, "What is that?" It's a cat. It's okay.
Yeah. Everybody,
we are going to start posting. We're going to start doing the video.
Everybody is very well behaved.
People are probably like, "What is wrong with these girls?"
Yeah. Everybody was very well behaved. You didn't even know. So it's like, you know, it was good until he had to step on some plastic. And then it's like,
I thought he was stepping on you. I thought he was climbing up
here. No, on my back. I got a cat on my back.
Okay.
All right. So,
anyways, continue on.
The change in schedule, it'll be like, you know, it could be, he'll be fine and sleep fine for like the week. Why the schedule has changed. Then we're going back to the old routine and now he's disturbed. And it's like, you know, and then I'll have that for maybe 1 or 2 weeks of where we're having this interrupted sleep. Or
so really quickly, are sleep disturbances like it once he's asleep and he's been asleep for a little bit and then you have these sleep disturbances.
And then he wakes up and then he's up.
Is it like going to the bathroom or
he's just up,
it's time to wake up.
He will. He'll try to escape bed. And a lot of times I can keep him laying in bed for a while with hopes that he'll fall back asleep. That is very rare. That occurs now with the current sleep disturbances that he's been having at least for the past few months. If there is a physiological change, meaning like he's had a growth spurt, I can pretty much anticipate that that's going to happen.
You're going to have that.
If there's a cognitive, what I call like cognitive burst, where it's all of a sudden he's had this increasing, like, you know, developmental burst where speech is on the incline, there's new skills being developed, and then boom. It's like his brain is
because then it's just like
his brain is just fired. It's a firing. Yeah. So even with the medication, it's not always 100% guaranteed. Mm-hmm. He's comfortable now. And then the other thing is if by the rare chance he didn't take his medication, he's going to be up and party all night long. Like he doesn't need sleep. Like what's sleep? Like not even tired, not even groggy, just heck out, hello alert.
I think that's so, we need to emphasize that too. Like when we talk about our kids being up all night, literally the next day, they're not sleeping during the day.
Right.
They seem like they're just fine. Like
they just woke up at 8 a.m. and had a fresh night's sleep. Yeah. It's like no big thing.
And multiple nights in a row like that. Sometimes. They can do that. It's astounding.
It's crazy and it's scary.
They can do it.
And there is no, like, you know, Jack obviously does wrestling, soccer in the fall, whatever. And there's not anything that I feel like makes him tired. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he'll be tired because he just worked out or whatever you want to call it. But
not
it's
sleepy.
Not like, oh, he's going to sleep hard tonight because he wrestled so hard. Right. No, usually the opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, for anyone that is listening, I'm not trying to even be elusive about the medication that he's taking. There's just so many And it's better if people want to have those conversations with me, you can reach out in the DMs and can have them one-on-one. I'm totally candid.
Yeah, same with me too, because it changes a lot too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even the dosages. Totally, like, I don't want to say it all on here. Yeah.
Right. I'm totally candid about it. I just don't want it broadcasted here. And then everyone's like, oh, this is exactly the way, you know, this is textbook and Marianne saying, mm-hmm. and medication.
Well,
is,
and
is,
even then, yes.
Right. And as a disclaimer, medication is clearly a tool. We are not saying it is a one absolute solvent. Some kids don't need it.
Yeah, one size fits all. Yeah.
And there's also supplementation that he gets in addition with those medications. So it's not all RXs, just mm-hmm. so, you know.
Well, and again, this is whether you have a neurodiverse brain or a typical brain, you know, like, drugs are going to affect everybody differently. Oh, what works
and
for,
I will say this,
you know, Shannon may not work for me.
And, mm-hmm. and it's very common, and we haven't had an expert on necessarily to talk about this, but our kids on the spectrum commonly have different, their systems are different in the way they methylate medication, right?
Yes.
So they can metabolize it so fast that it doesn't even stay in the system. And I just talked with a parent that said, because Rory did this one thing that had an all-nighter where it's just like he never even fell asleep. And we went to Special Olympics and the mom turned to me. She's like, oh, you got one of them too? And I was like, yeah. It's like, yeah, all medication done work for her because everything mm-hmm. Methylates through her system so quickly that even when she's had medical procedures and she's been under anesthesia, that wears off.
She still comes, quick, yep.
Yeah.
I used to love all-nighters, P.S.
Like, that's crazy, right? And that's it's why there's no, like, there's no one-size-fits-all for any of our kids because biologically their bodies are different even for that reason. So you just don't know. And that could be your kiddo. And that could be maybe why medication's not working, because their body's methylating it differently than, you know, ours are. And so this just happened, you know, what we have going on right now happens to work predominantly for the most part. And I know we outgrow it. And as we go up in age, then we have to change and adjust ourselves. It's a constant moving target. That's why this is the merry-go-round. We're never off of it. I'm on it.
We're on the merry-go-round. We're going around in a circle and we're going up and down. Yes. Just hang on. Buckle up.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's, I'll end really quick with just a little bit about Ruby, since we haven't talked about her, and then we'll wrap it up for today. But Ruby has been able to sleep pretty well on her own. She goes to sleep. She stays asleep. She's a light sleeper naturally, but she does pretty well. Our issue with her, I'm bringing this kind of back around to the potty training again, is being able to, you know, stay dry through the night.
Right.
And it's for her, we talk about it, but she is against getting out of bed. She will not get out of her bed for anything. And this is part of that, maybe that autism, a communication disconnect.
Yeah.
And then even a, you know, how you can get stuck on something mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you perseverate. She's stuck on that ever since we trained her from crib to bed. We talked about how we stay in our bed all night and she has clung on to that. She could have a bloody nose or be throwing up. She will not get out of her bed. She won't do it. It doesn't matter how many times I talk about it, how many times we practice, we've tried all the things.
Yeah.
She won't do it until I can convince her to get out of her bed. And she won't get out of her bed. We've trained her on Saturdays now. Once her clock is at a certain time, she will get out of bed. Mm-mm. But she used to wait in her room until I would go get her in the morning, even wide awake.
Sign me up for that.
I mean, it's bizarre. But now she will come out on the weekends. But yeah, it's just interesting, like, how different kids process different things, right?
Yeah. And the rigidness or the rule following,
there's a rigidness to
that's
it. That's
very
really
much Jack too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she does wear a pull up at night. And we talked about last night, she forgot to put one on and she got into bed. I said, do you have your pull up on? Mm-hmm. No. I said, do you want to try wearing panties tonight? Mm-hmm. And she almost started crying. She was horrified. Absolutely not. No.
Because she's just that this is what she does. This is what I do. This is
it's not even that I'm worried about peeing in my bed. She just right. that's just what she does.
And she doesn't pee, right?
She does. She does sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does. But so there is a reason for it, but it's the no, this is the pattern in the way I do it.
Right.
We have to have she gets yogurt too, because that's how we give Austin his meds at night. Is Austin has it in yogurt. Well, she wants a yogurt. She doesn't have any meds in it, but she wants one too. She has to have a yogurt. She brushes her teeth. She goes to the bathroom. She puts her pull-up on. We read two books and then we go to sleep. We have to do it that way. If we don't do it that way, she's going to have a meltdown. And so I'm going to have to, at some point when she is no longer using the pull-up, remove that from the routine. And that's going to be rough. So
it's going to be a whole new,
we just haven't really spoken about the routine part of this. Like sometimes right. that can be just as big as the falling asleep or the staying asleep.
Yeah.
Part.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And if we were able to move through the, okay, we're wearing, you know, undies now and, you can get up and go to the bathroom. She would, correct?
She or would.
Do you think she would? I mean,
I think she would if she would allow herself to do that. But we're not there mentally, right?
Right.
So I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
Until then. And we're all doing good. We're fine. You know, don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're just going to leave that there. But just know that the routine aspect of it or changing the routine at all, I've been able to adjust it where other people can put her to bed with that routine. Doesn't have to be the same person at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big win, but there's also that part of it that I just wanted to acknowledge and let people know like, yeah, that happens too. So sometimes even just the routine can really throw things off. So maybe look at that if you're struggling. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's it.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good and so exhausting and such a merry-go-round.
Let's sign off and then we're all just going
really
to lean over take a little nap together.
Okay. I do.
That's a good idea. Let's do it.
Can we just all cuddle in my bed together? We didn't do that when you guys were here. Oh,
next time, all just cuddle spooned. Puddle.
I thought there was cuddling on the couch.
There was couch but cuddling. I mean just like my bed, you know, because we could all just lay like perfectly spooned. You know, four of us across, be comfortable in there.
Well, that wasn't in the photo shoot. We didn't do that in the plan.
Should have been next time.
Gonna have to call Caitlin.
Yeah. So just any lasting words you want to, I mean, we've said stuff through this episode, but just, you know, just to get people through, just to give them.
I think one thing I would say, this is what I would say, because one thing we didn't talk about, and I know it's a common question that I get. And I think you've, at least somebody, I feel like some one of us did, but a lot of people have those sleep studies, right? And they go, oh, did you do a sleep study, oh. right?
Oh, and, yeah, I've done those.
Yeah,
that was me.
Yeah. And so you can, you know, obviously people can do that. That's one aspect if you're trying to figure out like what's going on with your kids'
really,
sleep.
Yeah.
Again, seizures are very common with our kiddos on the spectrum and they're not all visible. They can be like those silent seizures and that could also be affecting their sleep. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't think, or as of right now, we don't think Rory has seizures. But I really haven't fully done that testing because he wasn't going to be sitting and be able to be compliant enough for it without actually being medicated. And if he's medicated, it's going to inhibit. It's not going to be raw data, right? And so it's like, how do we do a sleep study without medication? That's just not going to happen for him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I would say if there are people out there who this is. It's really affecting everybody in the household's life on a major scale that going these routes to really figure it out, doing a sleep study,
start with your pediatrician and then move to a neurologist.
Get the referral for a neurologist. And,
it is very much affecting my household, but there is no time in my schedule right now to carve that in. Like it's just not going to happen. Yeah. Like release that right
now.
So we are going to be, you're just muscling through. So here we are on the merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm down with these episodes. You guys, it has been so lovely.
All four of us.
Prepare yourself for merry-go-round visits with all things. If you want to revisit something we have chatted about, do a little merry-go-round episode, reach out to us. You can reach us at hello@momstalkautism.com. And Brittany will get back to you. Or you can just DM us on our Instagram at momstalkautism. And leave a review. Because who doesn't want a review, right?
That's how.
Wait, I want you to leave a good review.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to tell you what to do,
but
it would be more delightful if you left a good review. But, you know, I love some of you people out there who feel spicy enough to leave, you know,
Saucy reviews.
Something saucy.
Oh, we got two new reviews.
Makes me giggle.
No. All right.
You guys, yes.
And they're good. They're good.
Okay, we're not getting into that right now, but we will see you soon. We love you and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Good night.